Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 2. Demigods are praying to Lord Krishna in the womb. And today's text should be 37. Yeah. It's a fairly lengthy purport, so instead of just repeating word for word, we'll just go right into each line. Shrinvan grinan sang sarayang shachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te Kriyasu yas touch charanaravindayor avishya cheta namabhaya kalpate Shrinvan gurinan sang sarayang chachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te Kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Shrinvan grinan sang sarayang chachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te Kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Please chant. Shrinvan grinan sang smarayang sachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Shrinvan grinan sang smarayang shachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Shrinvan grinan sang smarayang shachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Vaishnavis Shrinvan grinan sang smarayang shachintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor avishya cheta nabhaya kalpate Namani rupani cha mangalani te Kriyasu yastach charanaravindayor Okay, synonyms. Shrinvan. Constantly hearing about the Lord. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnuho. Grinan. Chanting or reciting the holy name of the Lord and his activities. Sangsmarayan. Remembering. Constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet and his form. Cha and Chintayan. Contemplating the transcendental activities of the Lord. Namani. His transcendental names. Rupani. I think our, you got lost there? It's 37. Here's what you do. On the menu bar, it says, you got it? Okay, 37. So just scroll down. One more. Okay. We're at Mangalani. You got that? Mangalani. Yeah, there you go. Mangalani, which are all transcendental and therefore auspicious. Te of your lordship. Kriyasu. In being engaged in the devotional service. Yaha. Hihu. Tvacharana aravindayoho. At your lotus feet. Abhishchetaha. The devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities. Na. Not. Pavaya. For the material platform. Kalpate is fit. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, please repeat. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet, and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms, are always on the transcendental platform. And thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. How Bhakti Yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, Ihayasya Harir Dase, by his activities, his mind and his words, Karmana Manasagira, may stay in any condition of life, Nikilasvapyavastasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned but is liberated, Jivan Muktasu Uchite. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana Paraksare na Kutashchana Pivyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani, Jamanishwari, Bhavatan, Bhakti, Ahoy, Tiki, Toi. That's the fourth verse of the Shikshashtaka. Quote, all I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop. although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost. Whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 14, therefore recommends that one always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas shadrara prataha namasyantas chamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Translation, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, and so on. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chitete, Kariya, Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees. I'm going to repeat that line because still in this community, a lot of our members are from India, and they don't get this point. I go to their homes, and they're watching this Babu and that Baba and this dad, and they're just contaminating their minds. So Prabhupada says, we should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana. O Vaishnava Mako Girnam Putam Harikatamritam Shavanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpo Chishtang Yata Fayaha. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Padashrayaha. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Yaridaika Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. The word Kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna Consciousness Movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvach charanaravindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashyate Deshtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishyamangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Chadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Tangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyasya Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So who's speaking? The demigods. All of them at once? I'm trying to envision this scene here. The demigods have come to the prison house of Kamsa. How many of you visited that place in Mathura? Put your hand up. Yeah, so it's still there from 5,000 years ago when Krishna appeared. It's gone through some changes, but technically it's still there. You can visit. So imagine, how many demigods are there in the Shastra state? 33 crore of demigods. So are they all speaking at once? It's a little confusing here. So if they're not all speaking at once, who's speaking? Lord Brahma, are you sure? Is that stated somewhere? In the beginning of this pastime, first chapter of this canto, it is stated that once the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of these demoniac kings. And so Mother Bhumi, the earth personified, being aggrieved, she assumed the shape of a cow. And she approached Lord Brahma for relief from the situation. So it's stated there that Lord Brahma, accompanied by all the demigods, went to the shore of the ocean of milk. So again, try to picture. Whenever we read here in the Shastra, we're supposed to try to envision the scene that's going on there. And ultimately, we're supposed to be able to see through the eyes of Shastra. That's what's called Shastra Chakshusha, which is one of the 64 qualities of Krishna that we can also share in. Krishna has qualities that we cannot approach, but in this category, we can approach that. There are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it's in chapter 19 of the Madhyalila, those verses are given describing Krishna's 64 qualities. So this particular verse says, Daksha Kritagya Sujuda Brataha Desha Kala Supatragya Shastra Chakshu Shushivachi. So this seeing through the eyes of Vidagda Chatura Daksha Kritagya Sudra Brataha Desha Kala Supatragya Shastra Chakshu Shushivachi. So it's stating there in Krishna's qualities, and again, one of them is this Shastra Chakshusha, being able to see through the eyes of the scriptures, not by imagination or what you've heard elsewhere, but strictly what is stated in the Shastra. So that first chapter is explaining that all the demigods went with Lord Brahma to the shore of the ocean of milk, and there's a standard way of approaching the Lord. They recited a standard prayer, which is called Purusha Shukta. Okay, Shukta, yeah, Purusha Shukta. So we can recite together. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksak Sahasrapat. Everybody knows that? We should. We hear it all the time. Every fire sacrifice, Rabindranath recites at least the beginning of the Purusha Shukta. We should know at least the first few verses. And it's stating there kind of the same thing that the demigods started out approaching the Lord. If we notice that when these great personalities approach the Lord, they describe the Lord to himself. They're telling the Lord what he's like. And this is approved. This is approved. We shouldn't approach the Lord with just some speculative ideas. We should approach the Lord reciting standard prayers, like this Purusha Shukta. Sahasra Sirsa Purushaha. The Purusha has, it's stated there, many hands, thousands of arms, thousands of eyes. Sahasraksha. Sahasrapat, thousands of legs, explaining the Lord to himself. Why? For our benefit, so we know what the Lord is like. Drive home the point. He's not an ordinary person, but he's a person. This is what a lot of other religious traditions miss. They accept the power of the Lord. God is great. God is powerful. But they don't understand that God is a person. Not an ordinary person, though. We are ordinary persons. We are the expanded parts and parcels of the Lord. We're persons. If somebody treats us impersonally, we get upset. They act like you're not even there. Or sometimes if you go somewhere and somebody's serving you and they just plop it in front of you. And you know, you feel upset if somebody treats you even slightly impersonally. How then does the Lord feel when we treat him like he's not a person? He's the supreme person, the most powerful. And we act like he's not even there. Or we come to him and say, excuse me, prove yourself to me. Show me this, show me that. No. If somebody came to you in such a mood, challenging mood, you immediately just, okay. Like Rupa Goswami, when that so-called Digvijay Pandit approached him in Vrindavan. That I am a bigger pandit than you. I want to debate you. Rupa Goswami, yes, I accept you're a bigger pandit. Just leave me alone. So the guy said, no, but nobody will believe that I defeated you unless you. So he produced some paper for Rupa Goswami to sign, and Rupa Goswami signed it. Yes, just leave me alone. Get out of here. So we don't, even if somebody challenges us, we feel a little upset. So then what to speak of Krishna? Krishna is unchallengeable. He's a supreme person, source of everything. How can anybody challenge him? Still, we foolishly, in our conditioned state, we challenge. I don't believe you really exist. If you really exist, do this, do that. How could you allow my husband to die, or my wife? Or Prabhupada mentioned that in relation to World War I and II, that the wives and daughters and like that on both sides, they were praying like anything when the husbands and sons and brothers went to war. Please let my husband, my son, my brother come back. And then when he did not come back, they lost faith. What kind of God are you? I prayed hard for my husband to come back and he didn't. So this is not how we approach God. If we understood from the Shastra our situation, our existential situation, we would understand why they didn't come back. There's karma. There's karma involved here. We voluntarily act in a certain way, and then we don't like the reaction when it comes. We don't like it. We want God to control everything and everyone according to our desire. I want this person to like me, make her like me, or make him like me. I want this job, make them give it to me. I want this, I want that, I want that. And if I don't get it, then it's your fault. Not that there was a better candidate that they hired. No. It's your fault I didn't get the job. I prayed to you and you didn't give it to me. So this kind of foolish mentality has to be avoided strictly. Even in Krishna consciousness, sometimes in the neophyte stage, we come with that mood to the temple. Bow down in front of Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and we pray that I want this, I want that, I want this. And then if we don't get it, we lose faith. You're not taking care of me the way I want to be taken care of. No, Krishna's plan is always perfect. It's always perfect. And once we start approaching Krishna, Prabhupada states many places, Krishna takes charge of us. So our responsibility then becomes to accept and try to understand whatever Krishna arranges for us. It's not always what we want. It's not always what we want. And we should know. We're limited. We're in the, to the degree that we're still materially contaminated, we're foolish. And we want things that are not good for us, and we don't want things that are good for us. You know, that's still on the mental platform, accepting, rejecting based on the mental speculation. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Prajahati yada kaman, sarvan paritan manogatan. When you give up this mental churning, accepting and rejecting based on your desire, when a man gives up all types of speculation, you know, desire for happiness based on our speculation, and when the mind becomes fixed strictly in the self, meaning spiritual activity, spiritual life, spiritual consciousness, then we have made progress. This is how we gauge our progress. Are we accepting Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, as stated here? Or are we still speculating that this is what I want, and if I don't get it, then there's something wrong with the system all the way up to the head of everything, Krishna. Something is wrong. You're not listening to me. You're not hearing me. No, Krishna hears us. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He says it in the Bhagavad Gita. What does Krishna say? Who knows that verse? Where Krishna says he knows past, present, and future. Vedaham samatitani vartamani tamarjana bhavishyani chabutani mam tu vedada kashana. He says, I know everything, everything. Remember that. Krishna knows everything. As we say colloquially, we can fool some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, but we can't fool Krishna even one time. If we just remember that, then we stop acting foolishly, because Krishna can see right through all of our facade that we put on for others, but Krishna can see right through it. So this is further impetus for surrender when we remember that Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. And Krishna says, and I also know everyone. But me, nobody knows. So this knowing everyone, if we remember that, that's very good for Sankirtan. Because sometimes, you know, we're in a situation. I know when I used to go out once in a while, I'm mostly at the BBT, but sometimes go out on book distribution. And you can be intimidated. You approach somebody, especially these people who look like they've got it all together, well-dressed, beautiful body, and everything is, and you're wondering, what am I going to say to this person? But Christian knows that person. And if you just remember that, if Christian knows this person, and Christian will inspire you to say just the right thing. Christian will inspire you just to say just the right thing to get them to stop and contemplate taking the book from you. So we should always remember this. Christian knows everything. He knows everyone. And Christian nobody knows, not even these demigods. Where does Christian say that? Christian says that in the 10th chapter. Namevidu surgana prabhavak namaharshaya. Ahangadiri devana maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Krishna says, Namevidu, nobody knows me. Surgana, even these hosts of demigods, they don't know me. Prabhavak namaharshaya, even the great rishis, they don't know me. Ahangadiri devanam, because I am the source of all these demigods and all these sages. They don't really know me. I know them, they don't know me. So, when the demigods approach the Lord again, they're approaching in a standard way. They're praying to him about his qualities, his activities that he already knows. They're not telling Krishna something he doesn't know. But we have that tendency, the tendency to like to be glorified for things that we've done. Nowadays, especially in Kali Yuga, we have a tendency, we want to be glorified for things that we want to do. You know, we approach somebody and say, no, I have this good idea, da, 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 da. And we expect them to go, Jai, Haribo! But no, that was not Prabhupada's mood. Many times devotees would approach Prabhupada with a so-called good idea, and Prabhupada would say, okay, let us see. You know, not that you get excited just because somebody has an idea. But that's how we are in Kali Yuga. We want to be glorified even for our ideas, or to speak of the things that we've done. But nobody wants to be vilified for all the horrible things that they've done, or still doing, all the pain that they cause in this world. To little creatures, every single day, every one of us, we're causing some pain to some creatures, knowingly or unknowingly, stepping on them, inhaling them, drinking them in water, etc. Such tiny, tiny little creatures, you can barely see them. Sometimes I'm at my desk, and I'm looking at my screen, I'm doing working on some book, and it seems like one of the pixels on the computer moves. That's not supposed to move. It's just a little spider or something just happened to be visiting. So how cautious should we be? Because we know what it's like, even if somebody just pinches us, how it feels. What to speak of if somebody stepped on you. I mean, there are entities in this universe that are much larger than us. They could actually come stomping down Matsika Avenue every day. Uh-oh, I just stepped on Neela. I'm sorry, Neela. Or I'm sorry, Rambaru. I just took your son out of here. So this could go on. And how would we feel? We would want to get rid of them. Who are these people? They're stepping on us all the time. Well, let's devise a plan to blow them up or something. You know? So every day we're dispatching so many little creatures. We should feel it. This is devotee. Devotee means the devotee feels the pain of others. And if we're in that mood of feeling the pain of others, then we are not so callous. Then we move through the world a little more cautiously, a little more carefully, praying to Krishna to please minimize whatever pain I'm causing to others. It's inevitable. You can't avoid it. You have to walk, you have to breathe, you have to light fire, you have to eat. And therefore Krishna says, surrender to me and I will relieve you of any of this incidental karma that you're accruing. Otherwise, it becomes impossible to get out of this place. Because at every moment we're accruing karma, good or bad. Even good karma means you have to take birth again to enjoy the result of that good karma. And who wants to take birth again in this horrible place? Therefore, Prabhupada stressed in the beginning, concentrate on going back to home, back to Godhead. Don't desire to stay in this place, because sometimes we can become a little lax. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being quoted here, Shikshasaka 4. Mama Janmani Jameshwar, it's okay, so I'll come back again and again. And no, Prabhupada didn't want us to have this mentality. That's the mentality of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. Because they're not affected by the material atmosphere. They can be here, and anything can happen, like Haridas Thakur. He was beaten, and he wasn't feeling anything. It was like the persons who were beating him, they got tired, and he wasn't feeling anything. So eventually they confessed that, why aren't you dying? If we don't kill you, we'll be killed. He said, all right, I'll die. Just, he put himself in samadhi, throw me in the river, floated down the river, came out again. So the pure devotees and the Lord, they're not affected by even the most adverse situations in this material world. So they can say birth after birth, but in the beginning stage, and no insult if you're already on that platform, but for those of us who are not on that platform, we cannot artificially adopt this mentality. We should want to get out of here. This place is on fire, it's burning, it's getting worse. Like I said, last year when I traveled, almost every place that I went to, later on something happened. I went to France, they attacked. Went to Belgium. They attacked. I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen this year. Because I'm planning a trip. I'm going to be going in the middle of August and coming back in September. I'm going to Poland, to the Baltic states, at least Lithuania, Latvia, maybe Estonia also. Belarus, if I get the visa in time. And then to Ukraine again. This place is falling apart. This whole material world is falling apart. Every single day, something vicious, violent is happening. So why do we want to stay here? Because if we're not completely purified, we still have in the back of our mind some idea of making a beautiful, wonderful arrangement here for happiness. But this is not the place for happy ever aftering. We should want to get out and take as many people with us as we can. Back to home, back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's mood. This is the mood of the pure devotee. If the pure devotee remains on the Uttama platform with the Uttama vision, then everything seems to be all right. Everybody's Krishna servant. Everybody's engaged in Krishna service. Except for me, I should improve myself. That's the vision of an Uttama Antakari. But the reality is not really like that in the material world. So they have to come down to the Madhyama platform where they make these distinctions of who's innocent, who's a devotee, how to deal with them differently, who's atheist, died in the womb, opposed to God, avoid them. But they also benefit from the Krishna consciousness movement when we go out and chant in the streets, distribute books, even the most fallen, and we should see ourselves in that category, can become devotees. So many stories are there. In reality, in ISKCON, whenever I travel, I always want to ask devotees that I have contact with how they came to ISKCON. And there are so many wonderful stories of how devotees came. Some of them are viciously, violently opposed to the Krishna consciousness movement in the beginning, but gradually, Krishna worked on them from inside and devotees from outside, and they became devotees. One devotee, when he was a non-devotee, he was so upset with the Harinam party that he lost it. He approached it and he actually kicked one devotee, like, get out of here. But later on, he became a devotee. Very, very nice devotee. So this is what the preaching mission is all about, as Prabhupada says here. Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is concentrated on book distribution because it's a very potent form. Everything is there. You give somebody Prabhupada's books and everything is there. If they read just one line, one word, it can be changed. Their whole life changes. They can go from being a vicious non-devotee to a very gentle devotee. And in the time of need, those books are there. When I was traveling through Russia in 1995, I was in Krasnodar. And they had the tradition that we used to have here in the early days, in the 70s, we used to have this tradition of having a play at the Sunday feast. Put on a little skit at least, just something to drive home a point, one particular point of our philosophy. What to speak of when there was a big festival day, there was always a big production. You know, like for appearance of Lord Nrsingadev or Janmasthami, always some big drama was produced. And Prabhupada loved it. Prabhupada encouraged that we should always have these plays. So, at the Sunday feast in Krasnodar, they produced this play that was very interesting. It was about a businessman and, you know, he's in office and phone rings and picks up the phone and, what? What? Bad news. His wife and daughter died in a car crash. So he's like distraught, what to do. He's looking around his office and he sees on the shelf Bhagavad Gita. Takes it down, starts reading, and it makes sense to him, and then he goes to the temple and becomes a devotee gradually. So it wasn't just a drama, it was actually a real story. One of the devotees actually came in that manner. Call came, wife and daughter died in a car crash. So this death, this is Marcha Loka. Every single day, every single moment, people are dying. I just read on Facebook last night before taking rest, there's one devotee, I forgot what her name was before she became initiated. She's a disciple of Indraduman Swami. Kamalaksha Rupini, her name is. And she was here in L.A. for some time. Some of you may remember her if you've seen her. She's like half Swedish and half Dominican. Very, very nice devotee. So her husband just passed away. Very young. I mean, she must be in her 30s, so he must have been in his 30s also. Asham Das. And but as devotees, we are supposed to understand what death and dying is all about. This is what we're all preparing for. and we should be able to assist others in preparing for this art. We are learning the art of dying from Srila Prabhupada. This is his final lesson to us. We know we've all seen that video, or some of us were actually there. The art of dying is what we have to offer to the public, because you're going to die. Everybody knows that. Everybody's going to die. But those who are not in devotional consciousness, instead of preparing properly for death, they actually accelerate their own death and the death of others, and they think this is something great. Somebody actually wakes up with the notion that today I'm going to kill, just like recently what happened at UCLA. This young man, just circumstantially happens to be from India, it could be from anywhere, but graduate, PhD in engineering, but his mind was so disturbed that he woke up one day and decided to go on a killing spree. So he killed his ex-wife in Minneapolis, drove all the way to LA, went on campus, shot one professor, and then killed himself. So this is symptomatic of the lowest form of material consciousness. Death is there. Everybody's going to die. Why do we have to accelerate our own death or anybody else's death? Rather, we should be learning how to get back to the platform of eternal life. Make this the last death. This is what Prabhupada was saying. Sacrifice this one life completely to Krishna. This will be your last death. You go back to home, back to Godhead. So we should take that seriously. So we understand this process of dying. When we see, we're not blown away by it when others die. And we're also remembering day after day that our own moment, last breath, is going to come. And the preparation of Krishna consciousness means Ante Narayana Smritihi. When that last moment comes, will you remember Krishna, Narayan, Vishnu? That's what we're being prepared for. So all of our activities every day, all of our chanting, all of our hearing, all of our remembering, all of our everything that we do is preparing us for that last moment. And we should never forget that. That moment will come. Devotees get to the point where we don't worry about it because, as is stated here, quoting from Rupa Goswami, Iyayasya Harir Dasi Karmana Manasagira. If you've come to the point where you're dedicating your body, your mind, your words, your activities to Krishna, then you don't have to worry about it. You're already liberated. You're already liberated. And death is just another, you know, step that you take. Just like we get up every morning, we take a step here, there. So just another step. The devotee is not worried about it. But until we're completely on that platform, we're completely safe, we have to be motivated by this fact that I really don't want to die, but I know I'm going to have to die again. But let it be the last death. Please, Krishna, I just want to get out of here. That should be our motivation. Not falsely, Mama Janmini Jamineshwari. No, if we're not on this platform of pure devotion, then we don't want to think about coming back to this place again. Because if we come back again in this Kali Yuga, it only gets worse. Only gets worse. This, in our short lives, I'll be 64 in October, we've seen how this place has degraded, deteriorated. The consciousness of the people have just gone down. And the only hope is Krishna consciousness. The only hope is Srila Prabhupada's books. So everything that we do here in New Dwarka is definitely is geared towards this book production, book distribution, preaching. That is Prabhupada's moon. This was Prabhupada's world headquarters, and that's the moon that he established here. Produce the books, distribute the books, go out on Harinam, hold festivals, everything geared towards getting this message out so that people can die only for the last time, go back to home, back to God. And we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Neela. Haribo.
When they don't get their material desires fulfilled, then they become, you know, displeased with Krishna. And I was just thinking what how Srila Prabhupada says, you know, one thing he says is Krishna doesn't give something to you that's actually not good for you. Of course, we also know the story of Dhruva and how he regretted asking for a better kingdom than his father, and also the point that if you want, even if you do want something material, it's best to go to Krishna. But I was just thinking about that, how, you know, other demigods, they'll give you something even if it's not beneficial for you. But Krishna usually, well, that point stuck out to me, that he doesn't, because he cares about you, he doesn't give something that's bad for you.
But that's not always clear. It's not always obvious. For instance, there are many devotees in our movement who have inherited big sums of money that seem to be detrimental to them. They threw away the bead bag, took off the neck beads, and they ran away. So we know that money came from Krishna. There is ultimately no other source. So why did Krishna give them all that money if it was going to contaminate them? And you know, so it's not always so clear that what Krishna is giving is actually good or not good. It's not always clear. That's why we have to follow Guru Shastra Sadhu. Money, all money belongs to Krishna. I made that statement in the last class that I gave. All money belongs to Krishna. Whichever channel is coming through, it doesn't matter. Whether it's by inheritance or by your so-called hard work or whatever. All money belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna service. That's very simple. This is what the Goswamis were teaching. You know, this practical renunciation where you use things in Krishna service. And so if we just catch up that one idea, and whatever Krishna gives me is for His service, whether it's large sums of money, or my health, or my car, whatever it is that Krishna gives, use it in His service. If we have that mentality drilled into us, which Prabhupada certainly tried to do, then it doesn't matter. Then everything that Krishna sends will be good for you. Even ill health will be good for you. You see it that way. That's the vision of the devotee. They don't blame Krishna that I'm trying so hard, all this Ayurveda and this and that, and I still get sick. What's going on here? Yeah, it's the nature of the material world. Everybody's going to get sick. Everybody's going to die. That's just the nature of this world. And Krishna always wants us to come back to the other world where there is no illness. There is no, you know, Medi-Cal or Medicare. You don't need it. Go back to home, back to Godhead. So yes, the devotee sees everything as being good for them that Krishna sends, whether it's ill health, lots of money, no money, whatever situation Krishna puts us in, we should try to be satisfied and just go on serving. All right, I think we've gone a little bit over here, so thank you very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.